seeing them again. He even tells them that you'll see my face no more. He says, I know what's ahead of me. I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be suffering. I know it's going to be bondages and all those different things. And as he gives a wonderful message about being an overseer of the church, being a protector of the church, beware of wolves, things like that, tells him to watch and even reminds him of the work that he had done, all those things. The last thing he says before he gets on his knees and prays with him, he reminds him of this saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And what an amazing principle. And it's true. As we allow our lives to let the Lord lead and direct in our lives, it's a true principle. It's a great principle. And I just find it interesting in this context. He goes through here and he asks these church, and once again, he's won many of these church leaders to the Lord himself. He has discipled them. He has began these churches and churches all over Asia. And these men come to see him. And as he's there and he's just going and saying, look, don't let things move you. In verse 24, he talks about what's headed for him in Jerusalem. He talks about finishing his course of joy. He talks about remembering the things that he did. And he talked about preaching the whole gospel, not to shun anything. He talked about how to protect the flock, how to feed the flock. Just wonderful passages of scripture. And he finishes it up with, and it says, it is more blessed to give than receive. And it says in verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into that ship. So what would have been so special about this phrase that this would be it? This is what you're going to do. This is the most important thing for me to remind you of. Last thing I want you to hear me saying as a preacher is, it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, here's some things about this. And I know sometimes people think talking about giving is a sensitive issue. Sometimes people say, you know, talking about giving is not something you should do from the pulpit. Well, you know, Jesus did. The Bible talks about it a lot. I don't talk about it a lot, but when we come up across things, we do mention it because it's important. It's something that is important that it's a benefit to you. It's God's house. It's God's money. God will take care of the church and take care of us the way he chooses to. But it is a benefit if we can understand for ourselves it's more blessed to give than receive. And remember, this principle is coming from a man that's in his 80s who's been on the missions field, that God over and over, like I encouraged you before, if you want to get his book, his testimony, how God over and over blessed in his life and how God used him and how he learned this principle. And the truth is, we're not going to be able to outgive God. We're just not going to be able to. So here's some things to help us with this principle. And the first thing, I want you to think about the greatest giver. The greatest giver. Now, Jesus is the one that's saying this. You go, you know, Paul said it, but he reminds him. Remember, Jesus is the one that said this. And sometimes when we go over a difficult or a tough passage of scripture, you know, we come to this point and say, you know, that doesn't sound right. And you go back, well, you know what? Jesus is the one that said that. When I talk about things that sometimes people don't understand or it's difficult to swallow, we'll say, you know what? Don't blame me. God said it. God said it in his word. I'm just a messenger. I'm just repeating what God's word says about it. And it's so when Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than receive, you, when you read this verse, realize something. Jesus gave more than anybody else did. Think about it. All things were created by him and for him. He owns everything, but he left the glory of heaven and came to earth to take upon himself the sins of the world. Now, once again, men die because of their sins. The reason why death entered into the world was because sin, because one man sinned, and sin has been passed down to every generation. Other men die because of their sins, but Jesus, the perfect sinless lamb, died for all our sins, and no one knew more about giving than Jesus did. And that, you know, we have a great example here. It is the greatest giver. And then you think about the greatest example. You think about the greatest example. Yes, it's Jesus. You think about some of the verses. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. I know a lot of people are generous. I know a lot of people are kind. A lot of people give. There's not very many people who will give and then become a person of poverty afterwards. They give out of their abundance many times. And that's a blessing that helps ministries, that helps people. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't say in the Bible that you have to give everything away. It doesn't. But at the same time, if God speaks to your heart about it, but Jesus, he gave it up all. He gave his whole life. And he's, you know what? He became, even though he was rich, he became poverty for us. Sometimes when you hear people make a statement like that, it's more blessed to give than receive. Yeah, a preacher's going to say that. And, you know, because he doesn't give. Well, that's not true. But at the same time, you wonder, do they really know what they're talking about? Sometimes when you listen to somebody, maybe you don't know, and they say, well, yeah, it's easy for that guy to say, but does he really believe what he's saying? Does he practice what he's saying? And he gives us the greatest example. He was the greatest giver, but it wasn't just all talk. It was something that he actually transpired, and he did. He showed us that. And, you know, sometimes people are really, really big talkers, and you wonder, well, that can't be true. You think about psychics, you think about that, you know, if a psychic really knew the future and could predict the future, why don't they predict all the winning lottery numbers and become super, super rich? Why do they need to have somebody call those numbers and pay them lots of money? You know, why do they live in trailers many times or little houses? You know, if they really could predict the future, then why don't they do something? Why don't they tell us that? You know, it's amazing. You sort of like those preachers that are on TV, that those wealth and prosperity preachers. You know, you should never be sick and you should never this. You should always be rich. You hear those things, you're like, that just doesn't make sense. And then they all die. I mean, sometimes sooner or later, they're going to die of something, right? Sooner or later, they get sick of something. Is it because they're not living for God now or something changed? You question it. You wonder, that sounds a little too good to be true. And, you know, those men that make all those millions buying those penny stocks, that doesn't really make sense, does it? It's because, you know, are they super rich because they've done that? So it's something I always wonder when there's a tough statement to handle and it's a tough statement to understand, you ask yourself, does that guy really know what he's talking about? When you're talking about Jesus, the answer is yes. He has demonstrated by giving more than he is ever going to receive. Secondly, I think about from the story from a physical standpoint, if you think of a missionary that was on the field for over 20 years and a missionary has been in missions for over 50 years, you know, he can also say a statement like that because he can look back on his life and use examples. And no one should ever be bragging about what they gave or didn't give. And that's not the point here. It's just a transition. It's a principle that's supposed to help us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, I could tell you stories. I could tell you stories in my own life, how God's taking care of our family and taking care of us. And once again, our giving, I think, is something that's private. And the Bible talks about not knowing what your right hand or left hand know what it's doing because it's a private thing. But this is a principle, and it's a biblical principle. It came from Jesus Christ. He says, it's more blessed to give than receive. And he knew what he was talking about. And like I said, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's sort of like somebody that's really, really overweight trying to sell you diet pills. You know, that doesn't sound right. Do you do that yourself? Jesus did. He shows us that. He teaches us that. Yet for your sake, he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. He did it all for us. He did it all for us. So I want you to understand, first thing, the greatest giver, and Jesus Christ shows that example. He tells us about giving, but then he also gives us this example that this is his last thing that Paul says. It's more blessed to give than receive. If you like to, you can take your Bible now to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, we have a biblical example of generous giving. A biblical example of generous giving. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Give you a little background on this passage of scripture. David is gathering items for the temple. We remember David wanted to build the temple, wanted to build a house for God. He says, why do I live in such a great place and God doesn't have a place like this? He dwells in a tent. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he's beginning to gather things for this temple. And look how the people respond. They respond in some amazing ways. They respond generously. They respond sacrificially. They respond willfully, willingly, and joyfully. The verses are up here if you can't find it. But 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. It says, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joys. Remember, David doesn't get bitter here. David still wants to, even though he can't build the temple, he's gathering all the possessions around. He could get bitter, but we see here that the people, they gave in such a wonderful way. First thing is they gave generously. You see this, all these different words and how much they gave. If you had added up in today's day and time, in our currency today, it would be worth $2.5 billion on what they gave. What an offering, $2.5 billion. Now remember, there's a few million people giving this offering, but $2.5 billion. You know, it's important that we understand that God's work is worth giving to. Next thing I want you to see is they gave sacrificially. You look in verse number 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them. I don't know about you, but some ladies like their jewelry. And that's nothing wrong with that. And but, you know, if you have a precious stone or something that's valuable to them, yeah, they were willing to give that too for this work. They said God's house deserves it. And this is not a message. We're not going to take an offering at the end of this lesson. It's just a principle here. Jesus taught us something. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Next thing I want you to see is, and this is the important key, they gave willingly and joyfully. And I love this verse. Then the people rejoiced. They were excited about giving. They, you know, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. So they were excited. They rejoice in their giving. And sometimes, you know, people, they do rejoice in their giving. Sometimes people feel obligated and they don't rejoice because they don't do it willingly. When I see a missions conference and I see our church respond and they give give a missions conference, you know, promise, love promise or faith promise. And sometimes it gets over $50,000 and people rejoice and they're excited about it because they gave willingly. Sometimes people are like grumbling because they didn't do it willingly. You can have joy in giving. And that's what the Bible is saying here. It says the people rejoice. Why did they rejoice? It's because they did it willingly. You know, David didn't have to come down and say, okay, I am king, and because I am king, you need to give me this. He didn't say that. He said, this is an opportunity you have. Now, if you feel the Lord's going to give, let you give, then give. And they just gave, and they gave it willingly. And I think that's important because when you give it willingly, you can do it with great joy. And it says, because with a perfect heart, when they offered, and here's the point, it's still willingly. This is the connection here. It's a willing offering. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Not only did the people rejoice, David got excited. David got pumped about it because of the fact that the people, he didn't have to ask more than once. He didn't have to ask three times. He didn't have to keep on coming up and saying, oh, we got this need. We got this need. No, people says, here, this is what I want to do. And I want to encourage you. You know, and like I said, I know I'm sure many, because we know that our offerings are good and we meet our budget and things like that. I know many of you give. I understand that. But this is a principle that Jesus taught us. It's more blessed. You're going to be happier when you give than you receive. The day and time we live in, it's not like that. The day and time that we live in, people, we have this mentality that, you know what, it's better to get than to give. But that's just not what the Bible says here. So let's look at a couple things here, and a couple things that I thought was good. The first thing I want you to see is when we properly give, and what do you mean properly? It means when they give willingly, joyfully, it actually provokes God's pleasure. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to understand something. When I say it's that you're giving properly, what do you mean? Say, Pastor, you mean I'm giving my tithe? Yes and no. I mean that you're doing what you're supposed to do, but you're doing it with the right spirit. You're doing it cheerfully. You're doing it willingly, not because you feel like somebody's obligated to you or you have to, or you feel like God's going to zap you if you don't, or you're not going to have breakfast tomorrow if you don't give like you're that giving it willingly and giving it properly. There are some people in the world that, you know, they take these principles and these verses that we're getting ready to look at and think about, you know what? If I give God money, then God's going to give me money back. That's not the way that we give. That's not the reason why we give. And we'll look at that in a second. But here, I want you to think about it. When we properly give, it provokes God's pleasure. Look what it says. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. Now look at this next phrase. For God loveth a cheerful giver. So the idea here is if we are able to give properly and doing it right, it actually provokes God's pleasure. God gets joy and he loves to see a person that's willing to give cheerfully. A person who is willing to give, not grudgingly, not because I have to, but I'm willing to give because it's what I'm supposed to do. I want to do it. I am cheerful about giving. God has given me so much. I'm going to give back a portion of what he's given to me. What I have belongs to God. If he asks for something, I'm going to do it cheerfully. It still amazes me about this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And in this verse, if it says it's impossible to please God without faith, you know what? It is actually possible to please him when we have faith. When we have faith, we can please God. And this is one of the things here when it comes to our giving, that God, he not only is pleased, he actually loves it when he sees a person that's a cheerful giver. And I want to encourage you today, remember, it's more blessed to give than receive. And when we properly give, it actually provokes God's pleasure. It actually means that he loves what he sees. You mean he loves us more when we do that? I'm not saying that. I'm saying he loves what he sees us doing. I think we love our children equally. And when our child does something that we enjoy seeing them do, we enjoy seeing them grow, we enjoy seeing them step out by faith, we love to see what they're doing. It provokes our pleasure. We get excited about it. And that's what the Bible's saying here, is that it provokes God's pleasure when we give properly. Next thing, not only does it provoke God's pleasure, it also... proper giving perpetuates God's provisions. It perpetuates God's provisions. Now think about this verse. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, some people will take a verse like this, and they begin thinking that God is like the stock market. If I invest in God, God's going to give me something greater out in the end. That's not giving properly. That's not the purpose of giving. The purpose in our giving isn't so we get something out of it. You know, I have a few stocks. I don't have a lot. I don't gamble, you know, in the idea when it comes to, you know, stock market, but there's a few investments I have. And the reason why I have an investment is because I think it's going to make a modest return and it's going to increase what I've put invested into it. It's part of what the little bit of retirement I have. So there's a reason why I did that. You know, when we give to God, we give to him because we love him, and it's because it's not doing out of necessity, not we're doing it cheerfully, and we know God will take care of us. And as we have that heart spirit and that heart attitude, that's when God said, I will bless you beyond measure. Now, sometimes that does not mean financially. When this missionary who wrote these 10 principles never became super wealthy, never came to the spot. He's still out there working and teaching and still doing and giving. And he's, you know, it's not about that. This verse here is referring to the blessings that God can give you. And he's going to make your life run over of joy because you've learned this principle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Bible's talking about here is that when we give properly, it perpetuates God's provisions. God can take care of you when you learn how to give properly. And I've met people, and I've talked to people, and I have one individual, and it's in my mind, and they're not here. And the idea, they said, hey, look, we tried giving to God, and we tried this and this and this. But he had that prosperity-type thinking. I don't understand why I'm not rich, because I've given my tithe for all these years. I don't understand why I don't have big houses and big cars. And I says, you're giving for the wrong reasons. You're not giving because you think that God deserves it and he's worthy of it and everything belongs to God and you're just giving back a portion of what he's already given you. You're giving because you think God's some type of lottery machine or some type of stock market. That's not it. He's promised that he'll take care of you. He's promised he's met your need. He's promised you that he will give you the opportunity to be blessed in your life. Remember, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is faithful with that. One man put it this way. When you put in a teaspoon full, God will give you back a tablespoon. If you give a tablespoon full, God will give you back a shovel full. If you put a shovel full, he'll put in a truckload. Is there any limit to giving? Sure. When God's resources run out, and then it's over. But we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of God's resources. All God wants us to do is be faithful. That's what he expects us to do. Listen to him, walk with him, let him lead you, let him guide you. And I know you've all heard stories. I've heard stories of how as we're faithful to God and let him lead us and guide us, God provides in miraculous ways. This is such a great principle. Next thing is, giving with the right attitude protects God's people. You say, what do you mean protect? Well, it's the same thing here. If we are not giving properly, if we're not taking our 90% and using it properly, or 100% or whatever, God's not going to be able to bless us the way that he wants to bless us. We're not going to perpetuate his provisions. He's not going to be able to take care of us because of the fact that because we haven't done what we should with what he's given us. Here, it's important to remember, God's not going to bless you in your life if you're not taking care of the things that God has already asked for. And then you think about this one, it actually protects God's people. The Bible states, and what a wonderful verse, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is God and God's work, you know what? That's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is in money, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is in possession, that is where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is in things, that's where your heart's going to be. Giving with the right attitude gives action against jealousy, greed, and pride. While this principle applies to financial giving, it also provides the giving of time and talent to the Lord's work. The person who lives to give is much happier than the person who lives to get. Sincere, joyful giving protects the heart and helps maintain a close relationship with God. If we will learn to put God to the test, he'll meet every need that we have. And we got to remember, it actually is going to protect us. It protects us from things such as greed and jealousy and pride. And I've seen that in people's lives. I've seen people do horrible things in the pursuit of money. I've seen people lie to get money. I've seen people deceive someone else to get money. I've seen, it's just amazing what people say just to get money. Let's think of this as a conclusion here. This is a great principle. And once you put God to the test, you'll never lack anything you need. Now, this is important. That's why we highlight it. You'll never lack anything you need. We're not always going to get what we want. Some people have visions of wanting a certain car or a certain house or a certain this or certain that. As you get closer to God and closer in your giving to the Lord, lots of times those possessions seem like they're not as important anymore. It's amazing. Sometimes people who have a lot but still give a lot, they turn around and say, that stuff's not really important. I've been in some people's houses, and I know that they probably give a lot to the church, but they're very modest in their houses. They don't need a lot of things that so how do you know how much somebody gives? I don't know, unless some reason they show or they tell me. But at the same time, you go into certain places and it's very modest. You wonder, I know they could do more. I know they could fix that up if they wanted to, but it doesn't mean that much to them. What means more to them is the fact that God and what God wants to do with their finances. And it's important. It's not just the things that we want. He'll give us what he's need. And what does the Bible talk about? You know, David talked about how he's never seen the righteous begging for bread. And you'll find that God is much better at taking care of you than you could take care of yourself. And so many times we try to take care of ourselves and we think we got it all worked out. If I could just have this little bit, then you know what could happen? Then I could take care of this, this, and this. Then I'll start giving to God later. Doesn't ever work out that way. Be faithful to God. He's the one that can take care of you. Give faithfully, give joyfully, give cheerfully, give willingly. These are important principles about how to give and why we should give. Establish your life upon this principle and watch God fulfill his promises in your life. As you're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to you. And I know I've heard many a story from people who have given of their hearts and given their lives to Jesus Christ and talked about giving even above and beyond and how God has just stepped in and met those needs. And it's a wonderful principle to live by. It's more blessed to give than receive. And it's a wonderful thought. You know, those people who live to get, they got a bad attitude many times. But those who live to give, those are people you want to be around. Not because you want to get from them, but instead because of the fact that their spirit and their attitude is the right thing. Let God help you to give properly, but give it with the right spirit, the right attitude, and give it because God loves a cheerful giver. It perpetuates his provisions, and it also will provide a protection for you. I know that this world, many times people get lost in it. I've heard stories. This guy got out of church because, you know, he wanted more work, more hours, do more for his family, or this person, because out of pursuit of things and pursuit of happiness, they forgot this principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today.